Hello, everyone. Welcome to a new episode of the European Hoops Podcast. My name is Andre. With me, I have my two EuroLeague experts and basketball experts, Diogo Valent and Tiago Cordeiro. On today's episode, we will be recapping some key matchups from round 11 of the EuroLeague, talking about some matchups of special interest heading into the round 12 of the EuroLeague, and also which games you cannot miss heading into this next round of the EuroLeague. Let's start by greeting our sponsor. BetOnline is the world's most trusted betting platform and your number one source for online betting. From the earliest odds to in-game live betting, BetOnline provides you with all the action and the ability to watch the games as they happen. With the largest selection of odds on everything from football, NBA and college basketball, NHL to UFC and MMA. Head to BetOnline today to get in on the action with America's most trusted site for online wagering. BetOnline, the game starts here. Very well, guys. Let's get into it and let's start with some of the recaps from the previous round. Duke, I'll start with you and the game between FS and Paris Basket. What were your takeaways after that game?
As far as FS versus Paris, I mean, first of all, big, big shout out to TJ Shorts because what he's doing in this EuroLeague season is absolutely amazing. I expected him to be good. I did not expect him to be this good at this level, this quick. But he is showing us the type of player that he is. 21 and 10, just completely destroying anybody who stands in front of him. So I just wanted to give him a quick shout out because what he's doing is really amazing. But as far as the game specifically, I mean, there were a couple of points that helped Paris get this win. First of all, their dynamic perimeter play. I think Coach Splitter knows that what he has on his team is obviously the guards and the wing players. They have such a dynamic perimeter play. Everybody can shoot. Several guys can play one-on-one and hunt mismatches. And that's the way they are succeeding offensively. And obviously, they are really succeeding because they currently have one of the best records in the EuroLeague. They stand at 8-3, and that's something that nobody expected. They have a 7-game win streak currently, so they've been doing an amazing job. As far as Efes, they struggled a lot defensively, especially late in the game, because, like I said, Paris and their guards started to hunt the switches, playing pick and roll just to force the switch, so that especially TJ Shorts can play one-on-one against Efes bigs, and they didn't stand a chance. I mean, TJ Shorts could do whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted, how he wanted it. So there was really no point in even trying the way TJ Shorts was hooping. So this was a great, great win for Paris on the road against a good FS team. And I'm very, very excited by what I'm seeing with Paris. They've been playing such great basketball. They play great offense through their guards, and then they play collective defense. It's a whole team effort. And I really love what I'm seeing from them. So a great win by Paris on this road game.
Switching gears and going to you now, Tiago. What about the game between Bayern and Barcelona? What led to the outcome of this matchup?
What a game from Obst and for Bayern in general. They performed great on the offensive side. Bayern was out from three, shooting 20 in 42 attempts. And we know the stat line that Obst had. And Barca wasn't good enough on the defensive side to prevent that. They let sometimes good shooters open because they were beaten on dribble situations. And then the whole team would collapse on a driver. And there we have it. They have an open man able to shoot. And he shot it. And they were scoring. On the opposite side, Barca stayed competitive because of their inside game. They stayed competitive, until the third quarter because the fourth quarter has no history. And Bayern was pretty average defending that, although they played a lot of switches, so that creates some mismatches that Barca explored. But on the other side, KP wasn't even on the game because they have Bayern has big bodies able to defend him and able to switch on him. And if you see the stat line, I believe he only shot 5 attempts. So that is not good for a team that wants to compete in Barca's case. And that's very good for a team for Bayern because they only let him shoot 5 attempts, so that is good. And he didn't stay on the game, so that is great. Overall, it was a great game, and this is a good show for other teams. Never underestimate Bayern, especially at home. And this is a team that is growing on me because they still have some players that did not play, like the case of Honorable B-Team. All he played, but he's not used to play on this team. So good things are coming, I believe.
I want to stay with you, Thiago, and ask you about the game between Monaco and ASVEL. Give us your breakdown of this game.
Both teams had a good first half. Monaco had some elite defensive stints at times, but ASVEL always had an answer by their best players that they have. And in the particular case, Thiel Maliden was amazing in the first half. And defensively, ASVEL did their job too. But entering the second half, ASVEL looked like a different team. It seemed like they felt overwhelmed by Monaco's pressure because they were defending almost full court. And ASVEL committed a lot of dumb mistakes, almost giving the ball to Monaco without dribbling nor passing. I remember a case that I believe was Okobo that I don't know, I can't recall the player right now, but he was looking for a pass and he literally gave the ball to Okobo. So they committed a lot of dumb mistakes. And it felt odd for ASVEL because they've become a better team overall, and they committed a lot of dumb mistakes that at this level you get punished. And after that, Monaco built their lead and managed to win the game. Overall, it wasn't a good game to see, but the tensions were felt for sure. So that's always a plus for a EuroLeague rivalry, and I just want to see ASVEL becoming a much better team and more competitive team because they have all the tools to be considered a real good team.
Let's move back to you and a team that you have been extremely high on, Diogo. Žalgiris, they received Panathinaikos. What happened on this matchup?
The first aspect that comes to my mind is Lonnie Walker's growth since he came in to Žalgiris. Every game he plays, he does better than the previous one. And that's what you would expect from a player with his type of experience and his type of skill set. I mean, obviously, a player of this caliber, we knew he was going to be successful in the EuroLeague level. It was just a matter of that adapting period that he needed to have, of course, especially in a team like Žalgiris, that they don't have stars. They play as a unit. They play collectively. They share the spotlight, per se. And I think he's fitting in pretty well. He's doing his job. I think he's going to continue to get better and he's going to continue to help Žalgiris even more. But this was a great win for them, playing at home against Panathinaikos. I loved to see the three-point volume by Žalgiris. They shot 32 threes and they shot at 40%. So obviously that's amazing. Then I think they did a good job holding their own on the boards against Panathinaikos, because obviously Panathinaikos is a bigger team. And they have better bigs, but that did not stop Žalgiris from competing and fighting until the end with every single effort that they have. And then on Panathinaikos' side, they had way too many turnovers for the level of guards that they have. They can't commit 13 turnovers in a game like this, otherwise they're going to lose it. And especially when you go to the free throw line and you shoot 14 of 21 with a total of 66% from the free throw line. That's not going to cut it for a championship contending team like Panathinaikos. I mean, championship contending, I would even say championship favorite. So they really got to do better on those two aspects. And this was the big reason for them to lose the game. They were not consistent offensively. They didn't shot the ball great from the three-point line. They were terrible from the free throw line and they turned the ball over. So I think Žalgiris did a great job of holding their own defensively and then offensively. An inspired Lonnie Walker obviously was a great help, and it got them the win against Panathinaikos. So a great job by Žalgiris. They get back to winning games, and both these teams are 7-4, and I expect both these teams to be in the fight for a spot in the Final Four.
Let's now look ahead, and let's look at some key matchups of this round 12 of the EuroLeague. And let's start with you, Diogo. And the game between Barcelona and Real Madrid, what should we expect from that matchup?
I mean, obviously, this is probably the most historical rivalry in the European basketball. Barcelona playing at home, I think they should have the advantage. Not only do I feel like they are the better team, but they're obviously in a better momentum than Real Madrid, because Real Madrid has struggled a lot in not only on the EuroLeague, but also in domestic competitions. They just haven't played to the level that we expected from them. They are 5-6 now in the EuroLeague. Barcelona 7-4. I believe Barcelona, not only because they are playing at home, but I feel like at this current moment, they are a better team, and I expect them to show that, especially in a rivalry game. I think Barcelona's ability to shoot the three and to be more dynamic offensively is going to give them the advantage over Real Madrid, who obviously Real Madrid has been struggling offensively and defensively. They just haven't been good enough. And I would expect at this point for them to have made some changes to the roster, maybe add a couple of players, but they haven't done anything to change their current bad momentum. So I'm a little bit surprised by that, negatively, of course. And Barcelona, I just feel like they are a better team overall right now. They have the depth, they have the size, they have the shooters, they have the defenders. So I expect Barcelona to display the fact that they are a more complete team. And I think they're going to beat Real Madrid on this one. Now, obviously, it should be close because with these two teams, don't matter how much we think one team's better than the other, the games are always going to be close and both teams always have a chance in this type of matchup. But I would definitely say Barcelona is the better team currently, and I think they have the advantage to win this game. So I would favor Barcelona. But regardless of anything, this should be a great game, and both these teams should be hella competitive because obviously both of them have a lot of talent. It's just a matter of putting it together and competing at a high level. So we'll see what happens, but I'm expecting Barcelona to win.
Partizan Olympiacos will be the next game that we'll be talking about and one of the four games that we will be breaking down from this round 12, previewing and telling you guys what you should be expecting from it. Yeah, what should we be on the lookout for this game between Partizan and Olympiacos?
This is going to be a fun one for sure. Olympiacos, for me, are the clear favorites, and it's crazy for me to say this when this game will be played in Serbia, but I consider them the clear favorite. Partizan this year is very inconsistent so far, and they tend to struggle against teams with a lot of size and bigger teams like Olympiacos. I can see Milutinov, for example, dominating the glass and almost having a double-double with 15 rebounds, for example. And Partizan defensively are not great either. And we know that Olympiacos right now are turning up, led by Fournier, for example. And on the other side, I see Olympiacos guards locking up Carlick Jones. And all of us know the importance that he has on his team so far. So I expect Olympiacos to dominate this game. I believe it's going to be a fun one, at least until the last 5 minutes. But I believe that Olympiacos will have a clear victory here.
What about the game between Paris Baskets and Virtus Bologna, Thiago?
I see Paris winning this one and continue to building the good momentum that they are right now. They will play against a Virtus that sometimes can be viewed like a proper team, able to win against anyone. But it will depend a lot on the way that they approach the game and if they are able to keep up with the pace that Paris wants to play. And I don't see guys like Clyburn, Toko Shengelia able to keep up with them and wanting to run the same as Virtus run. Virtus no Paris run. So it's going to be a fun game to watch for sure because I can see Virtus wanting to play slower and to play with a slower rhythm, and Paris wants just to maximize their possession. I expect Paris to keep up the good momentum that they are right now until basically until Christmas break. And after that, we'll see because I see them stopping a bit after that break because we know that sometimes these teams build a good momentum before that break, that longer break. And coming off holidays, they tend to struggle a little bit. And I believe that Paris will be the same. But with that in mind, I believe that this game will be balanced for sure. Quality-wise, it's very balanced. But it will depend a lot on the way that Virtus approach this game. So I consider Paris the favorite here to win.
To finalize our previews, let's go back to you, Diogo, and let's talk about the game between Panathinaikos and Monaco. What should we expect?
Obviously, this is a game between two contenders, two teams that I expect to be in the fight for the Final Four. With Panathinaikos playing at home, I expect them to win this game because I feel like they have a more complete roster, and Monaco is still dealing with a lot of injuries with Nick Kalares and Korkmaz and even Jaite now lately. So despite Monaco being in a very good form in the EuroLeague, I'm going to go with Panathinaikos to win because they are playing at home, because they just lost to Žalgiris, so I expect them to bounce back And I just think it's a bad matchup for Monaco because Panathinaikos has obviously great guards, and Monaco, they don't really have great guard defenders. They have great guards on the offensive end, but defensively, not as much. And I just think Panathinaikos is a bigger team, obviously on the wings and inside as well. So I expect Panathinaikos to dominate on those aspects. Panathinaikos also shoots the ball better from three. Monaco tends to shoot a very low volume, and I think that's going to hurt them in a matchup like this, because I feel like for them to beat Panathinaikos, I would expect them, I think they need to shoot a high volume from three for them to be able to have a chance, because obviously they have a lot of good scorers with Mike James and Elie Okobo, but they just don't shoot the three enough, and I don't think they're going to have enough firepower offensively to beat Panathinaikos on the road. So I think for Monaco, they need to try to speed up the game and just upgrade the volume from the three-point line. I think they need to be a lot better on that aspect. And then I think they have to be very consistent defensively, especially on the perimeter with all of those guards. I think Alpha Diallo is going to be very important, and Matthew Strezel as well, because despite being a young guy, I think he's their most consistent defender as a guard, obviously due to the fact that Nick Calades is out with an injury. So I think those are going to be the key aspects for Monaco to compete and to try to win this game. But I expect Panathinaikos to come out on top.
As always, let's end this episode by sharing with our listeners which games are must-watch games on this round of the EuroLeague.
The Spanish Classic will be fun for sure, and both teams right now aren't in good spots or momentum, so it's a must-win for both. And the other one that I'm looking forward to see the most is going to be Red Star against Bayern. I know that quality-wise we have much better games like Monaco against Nikos, for example, but I consider this game to be the funniest game to be played in this round, because both teams play so fast and they are a very offensive drive teams. So I expect a very entertaining game with a lot of points, and these are what the fans want. This is what the fans want to see. So for me, this is a must see for sure.
My must watch games for this round. Number 12 are going to be the exact two games that I just predicted. Obviously, Barcelona and Real Madrid, a rivalry game. That's always going to be a must-watch for me. And then I have Panathinaikos versus Monaco. I think all of these four teams should be contenders to be in the Final Four. Obviously, Panathinaikos and Monaco have been showing that at a higher level than Barcelona and Real Madrid. But regardless of that, I think all of these teams are considered contenders, and I expect both of these games to be very close and very well disputed, very competitive, and both of them to be very, very close and decided in the final minutes. So I'm very excited about these two matchups, and I look forward to seeing who comes out on top.
Very well, this takes us to the end of this European Hoops podcast episode. This episode was presented by BetOnline, and as always, we will be talking with you guys soon.